All right. Hope you know your Bible. Turn with me to Joel. J-O-E-L. It's over there between Hosea and Amos. Why? You can't find it from there? It's in the Old Testament. Near the end of the Old Testament. I don't preach much on the minor prophets. And that's a shame, really. Because there's some really good stuff in there. It's just there's a lot of stuff that's not quite understandable to us, but it was certainly understandable to them at the time. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be going through the book of Joel, and we're going to go through it rather fast. It's not going to be one of those verse-by-verse type of things where we're going to analyze each passage, but I want to give you a picture of what Joel is talking about and what it relates to us today. And actually, it relates to us quite a bit, more than you realize. So Joel, the first chapter, and we'll be looking at the first 15 verses. One of the forgotten truths from God's Word is that this world is on a collision course with Almighty God. You realize that? It's drawing closer and closer, and this sinful world that rejected God, it's a closer day, it's closer than it was yesterday to judgment. Now, while it's true that God is a God of love and grace and even mercy, what people today may well need is a reminder of the truth that God is a God also of justice and judgment. You see, we are to preach the entire gospel, the entire contents of the Word of God, not just the stuff that we like. So today we begin to walk through the prophecy of Joel. Not a great deal is known about Joel, but we need to know a great deal about what he wrote. Why? Because of the first verse of this prophecy, and I'm not sure what happened. Did the whole entire screen go blank? Okay. You really need to read along with this. Okay, the gadget. Anyway, let's read it. And if they get it going, we can catch up. All right. It says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel, hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye the children of it, tell ye the children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children tell another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. For it is cut off from your mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. He hath land, laid my vine waste, and barked my fig tree. He hath made it clean bare, and it cast away, the branches thereof are made white. Lament like a virgin, girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted, the land mourneth, for the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, the oil languisheth. Be ye ashamed, O husbandmen, how? O ye vine dressers, for what the wheat and for the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. How, ye ministers of the altar? Come, lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God, for the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. Look, I understand that that's hard to understand. I understand. There's a picture that's being painted here. I want you to notice something. It's talking about a coming of judgment. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all the inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even the days of your fathers? Notice the first two words, hear this. And this phrase is more like, you better pay attention. You better hear up. It carries the idea and the message of something important is about to be said. Dear, you know, remember when I first started the service off? What did I say? I need everyone's attention. The catfish dinner's off. That's what I said. And I, you know what? When I said it that way, everybody's ears perked up. And you go, okay, this is something different. And that's what, this is something different here. You see, judgment is coming, and you want to know it so that you can be prepared for that judgment. He identifies both the leaders and the people, and he said, listen, pay attention. This is important. Now, the many ways there are to figure things out. So you're trying to figure out what all this means. Rhetorical questions is very effective. Okay, has anything like this ever happened before? Obviously, God has something in mind which is unlike anything seen by this generation or any other generation. And we were reminded of some sort of the atrocities that's happened in this generation. I mean, there's some really bad stuff that's happened. I mean, just go back to 1943 to 45. Millions of Jews being slaughtered. And not that long ago, well, just about 20 years ago, we saw 3,000 die in one day by terrorist attacks. So we've seen atrocities. But this will be nothing. That'll be nothing compared to what God is talking about. Have you ever seen anything like this before? You're not going to. God's going to top all the atrocities that's ever happened. The things. So we should discern that judgment. We should learn that judgment is on the way. He says, "Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their parents, their children." And their children tell another generation. In other words, we should never forget that one day there will be judgment. So to read verse 3 is to understand that as holders of the truth, we should disclose the truth. We have the truth, and as holders of that truth, we should be telling others about that truth. Part of the sad solution of the 21st century church is that we've discarded the truth of God in relation to His judgment. We don't talk about it. Now look, I'm not telling us that we need to go get a sign, the end is near, repent. That's probably not very effective. But it's true. The message itself is true. And we shouldn't turn away from it and say, no. Do you remember what we talked about a couple of weeks ago? What happened to Nineveh when they told that they were history? They repented. We don't know what can go on. So His right judgment is based on justice. And Amos 5:24 says, "Let justice roll like water and righteousness like an unfailing stream." We must tell the world that one day this world is going to be under God's judgment, and it'll be nothing like anyone has ever seen before. In 1:4, the fourth verse, it says, "What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten." So in other words, what does that tell us? Devastation. We're not talking about just some simple local atrocity. Something terrible happened locally. We're talking about devastation like it's never been seen before. Let me say that there's four types of locusts in this picture. Let me say that the picture of locusts is a picture of total destruction. And some think these insects are illustrating armies of humans going across the land. Others think the prophet speaking of the four stages of the locust life. And others think it's four different types of bugs. You know, I mean, that's how you can get into it and you can make up stuff. And such arguments make for meaningless and foolish and vain babbling, if you will, and a great deal of debate. But the truth of it all is the land will be destroyed. And it will be the judgment of God on the wicked land and the wickedness of the land. However you want to interpret it, that's where you always end up. What we see here today, one day will be devastation around the world. And it won't be man-made devastation. It'll be God's judgment. In verse 6 he says, no, I'm sorry, in verse 5 he says, "Awake ye drunk, you drunkards, and weep, and wail all ye drinkers of wine because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth." What makes up this judgment? Well, at first blush, verse 5 appears to have a practical side to it, and it refers to wine drinkers, drunkards, and wine drink. Obviously, there's a message. Those who lean on the bottle instead of the blood of Christ. But this is not really talking about that. Really, it's not. Using the wine as a symbol here. However, this is really talking about the unprepared people of the world just living with blinders on. You know, when you're a drunkard, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I'm getting a nod back. You don't know what's going on around you. You just care about when you're going to get the next drink. Same way with drug addicts. Same way with a lot of people with other different types of problems. They live for this one thing and they put blinders on. You know, wine is also called spirits. You know, we call it spirits. And this could very well be a reference to the fact that in the day the Lord's Spirit won't be dwelling with man. There will be a day when the Lord's Spirit won't be dwelling with man. We won't go into all that for right now. But one facet of God's judgment will be no godly embrace from God and His Spirit. When us as saved individuals, He takes the church out, and that glorious day when we hear that trumpet, we're gone. This world will change dramatically. You know why? Because we are the salt of the earth. It'll just change. It'll be different. And there'll be a day when God's Spirit will no longer dwell with man. And we're not going to go into all of that detail about what that could mean. But what we're going to see is things that we won't see it, hopefully. But the world will see things that it's never seen before. In verse 6, "For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he has the fangs of a fierce lion. With the Holy Spirit absent, evil has a new freedom to invade and devour." For a person who's under the judgment of God, we see several frightening pictures. Invaded, powerful, without number, teeth, even fangs. And every one of these pictures paints a portrait of an enemy, which is unrelenting, vicious, and evil. Satan, for a short period of time, will have free reign on this earth. The church will not be its counterbalance. The church will be gone. So we see the pictures of the, we see the beginnings of this picture today, don't we? Now that God has been removed from our daily life, and honestly it has, many others are stepping to the forefront to attack this land in numerous and ungodly ways. We can even name social and political groups in this land who pervert justice to have their way, mocking God. Yeah. Mocking Christians. What was once called evil and known to be evil now is simply a lifestyle. We can see what can happen when God is taken out of this world. It's happening. You can see it happening. However, the great attack is occurring on a scale, on a local scale, by people who know better, and is getting more pervasive every day. Imagine what it's going to be like when God actually removes His Spirit. The church is taken out and God removes His Spirit from the land. There's no way to do battle without casualties and with no cost. When a country goes to war, or a couple goes through divorce, or a church has a fight, the total cost and the casualties are not known for a long time. When God sends His judgment, the battle which will be raged will be directed at anything which is perceived to be good. Look at verse 7 through 9. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare and thrown it away. Its branches are made white, lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. This gives me a picture of total annihilation of everything which God has desired to be good. The grapevine, the fig tree, branches and bark, all weighed laced. Because I'm not giving a timeline of the end of time. And we're not speaking about end time events. That may be for a future series of messages. Just don't miss the fact of this one fact. Judgment is coming. There will be a day when all the wrongs, I won't say be righted, but justice will be done. People will get what they deserve. I don't know if you've ever had a miscarriage of justice in your life, but you know how that feels. How did they get away with that? Well, they won't. They won't. This world will not get away with it. His judgment will be based upon justice, truth, and right. Verses 10 through 12 says the field is wasted. The land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up. The oil fails. Be ashamed, ye farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because of the harvest of the field has perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Sure, now listen to this. Surely joy has withered away from the sons of men. You see, this judgment's going to destroy their provisions. Verse 10 tells us that everything mankind depends on for life will be destroyed. Frustration will be at an all-time high because nothing man can do will make the land produce. All will be dried up and laid bare. We get a picture here of a drought which perplexes the farmers. You know, it's hard to, when you're in a drought, it's hard to grow stuff. And if you're not growing stuff, you're going to have hungry people who rely on that food. There will be a food shortage, which makes the food shortage of today pale in comparison. We complain because Sonic doesn't have a particular item on its menu that you like because of a shortage. I complain because there's a shortage of lumber, shortage of cars. But it'll be nothing compared to what the shortage will be. It literally will be people living and fighting for their own food. You see, God removes His hand of blessings. And when His hand of blessings is removed, nothing's going to bloom. Nothing's going to blossom. So all the plans that these folks today have to make this the perfect society is all going to be gone because God has removed His blessing. Perhaps this picture is why Jesus told us not to make any plans that we couldn't make good. And also, it dries up our personal joy. The last line of verse 12 is staggering. To think that laughter will be gone, as well as peace and hope and happiness and love. I want you to think about it this way. In America, more people have more things than ever before. We are basically a wealthy people, and that includes the poorest of people in our country. Yet, increasingly, we are a more miserable people. Unhappy. Always wanting more. Always desiring what someone else has. Deep friendships are at a premium. Lasting relationships are all but non-existent. And the culprit is that in our search for happiness, we've abandoned true inner joy. You know, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And since more time has been placed on the I, this culture is about me. I don't know about y'all, but the culture is about me. Everything's about me. That's the way people look at things. The Holy Spirit has been summarily dismissed. The Holy Spirit can't work with someone who's only thinking about themselves. And this is what happens when with God's judgment. When the Holy Spirit of God leaves, there will be no joy. There'll be no joy. And then the verses of 13 and 15, it says, "Gird yourselves and lament, ye priests, wail, you who minister before the altar. Come, lie all night in the sackcloth, you who minister to my God, for the grain offering and the drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty." To read this is to understand that the coming judgment requires a response from us. It's not a simple statement of fact, but it's saying, judgment is coming, you better do something. And so what is there to do? Actually, quite a bit. Actually, one thing. I want you to remember. We must remember who God is and who we are. We are God's creation. We are His crowning creation. And if we have a relationship with Him through His Son, we have cause to remember much more. As a believer, can you remember a time when you were closest to Him? Do you remember those moments when you were close to God? Or was it in the past? Remember when your heart was the hottest for Him and when your fellowship was closest and faith was the strongest? In Revelation 2:5, the admonition to the church was, remember how far you've fallen. Remember who He is and who you are. And then you reflect. Alright? He's God Almighty. I'm His creation. And this is a step that many times is overlooked today. Why is it that I've fallen away from sweet fellowship from my Heavenly Father? Is it because of what someone else has done to me? Is it because God loves me less? Maybe He pursues me less? Or am I simply less valuable to Him today than when we first met? Don't miss this truth, okay? God went nowhere. He hasn't moved away from you one step. And here's another part. The promise of judgment on this world, and there is a judgment on this world. calls upon us to remember, reflect, and then repent. Look at the words they used in this passage. Repentance, sackcloth, lament, altar, offerings. The people were called to be broken enough to have a change of heart, change of mind, change of direction. You see, if I'm not as close to God today as I was yesterday, then it's my fault, and I need to come before God and repent. And it needs to be real. My heart needs to be broken about it. It's not one of those things where I go to Him and say, Lord, I sinned, and I'm going to chalk up a tally here. I ask Him, forgive this for this one, and you go on your way, and I'll be back tomorrow. This is Psalms 51 stuff, where your heart is just now broken because of the sin in your life. And then what you got to do? Return to Him. The prodigal son, his father, reaching out to him, seeing him come on home. So the Heavenly Father invites us home. In verse 15, we read that the day of the Lord is near and we need to be close to the Father at home. Judgment is coming. Like it or not. Every unconfessed sin will be judged. Judgment is calling, like it or not. It's calling the lukewarm to get close to the fire of the Holy Spirit. And it's calling the carnal to return to the Lord before it's too late. But more importantly, it is calling those who have never known Him. It is calling an ungodly nation to repent. Judgment will happen. It will. There will be a day of the Lord. And in that day, we will find that those who have turned and said no to God, did not receive His grace and His mercy, will face that torment, will face this devastation. I can't even imagine. The trumpet calls, the church is us, we are called up, and the world is left to its own devices without God and without His Spirit. And all these things that have to happen, and at the end of it, Joel is telling us here, total devastation. The things that we pride ourselves today in being a, quote, civilized country, a civilized society, will all be gone. So who do we put our trust in? It better not be this nation. It better not be this society. It better not be this world. But it better be the God Almighty who offers you a chance to come to Him. Saved children of God, if you're a saved child of God, you won't be facing this. But we are seeing it now. You need to draw close to Him today. You need to give Him your heart and your life. Be close to Him. You need to remember. You need to reflect. You need to repent. And you need to return to Him so that we can tell others about what's fixing to happen. There is judgment coming. I'm not going to be happy about it. But I can tell you, it'll be right. I want to make sure everyone's warned. We should never neglect the preaching of what God's put the judgment upon this world. You see, His judgment's not only upon the world in general, but it's about each and every one of us. Every one of us is a sinner. And we're sinners. And automatically, by default, we are under condemnation. We're going to face that judgment. But He offers us a chance and a gift, actually, that we don't have to suffer that judgment. Paid for by Christ's own blood. And so, When he offers us that gift, we have the option to accept it or reject it. Say, yes, I want that gift. I want you to save me. I want to be spared from his judgment. But so many people say no. And then those who say yes, out of those people, some say, thank you, and then go about their lives, forgetting about what God had done for them. Repent. All of us, let's get on our knees and bow before him and say, thank you, God, for sparing me from this judgment. And may we turn around and tell others about what he's done for us and about what's coming. Yes, Joel is not the most pleasant of book to read, to study. But I believe it's a reality check. I believe that it's for us to know that not everything's going to have a happy ending for everybody. That God's judgment will be sure, and it'll be true, and it'll be just. And the only way you can escape it is by knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. So as we stand and prepare for an invitation, I hope and pray that you found Him as that. I hope there was a point in time in your life that He was calling you and you said yes. But if He hasn't, and the Lord's dealing your heart right now, you truly want to escape hell and His judgment. It's my prayer today that He's talking to you, He's calling you, that you'll accept Him today. So as we sing.
Number 517. 517.